The next item.
Something else to talk about.
Item number 13, from the Director, Department of Human Resources, submitting an update on the 2013 Job Analysis and Evaluation Project. This item is informational only and thus otherwise directed by the committee.
Ms. Mitchell, do you want to walk through item 13?
What the numbers mean. Thank you. So if you turn to the third page, you'll see that we've so far, now the project isn't done. We've gotten through about 26 different areas. We have about 12 left that are in the works. We've reviewed 461 jobs at the county, accounting for about 1,300 or so positions. If you look at that next column where it says job title does not align based on job content or market, what that means is that, and as it states here, about 82% of the positions we've looked at so far, the title either doesn't really align with the duties the person's performing, it doesn't really reflect what they're doing, or it doesn't match up with what the market typically refers to that job as. So about 82% of the jobs we've looked at, the job title needs updating. Okay, so that's the first column. Job content concerns, again, we have about 9% of the positions we looked at had content concerns, which means that the job content wasn't really clearly defined or really appropriately defined given what the person actually was doing. So we're really digging in to look at what the person's actually doing and found that in some cases the content outlined in the description didn't really match. So there's some cleanup there. Job reporting relationship concerns, we had about 3% of our issues were with that, where we might have found an employee who was reporting to someone who was at the same grade level, for example. Or we'd have someone called a manager, but they really didn't do any management duties, those types of reporting issues. The next column, job education or experience requirements do not align with minimum standards. We found some cases where for example, a manager might have it outlined in a job description saying you need to have a master's degree for this job, and everybody in the job has one. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it should be a requirement. Many people might be qualified for the job that have a bachelor's degree. So it's things like that where we pick through to make sure that the job description is really compliant. And then if you look at the next column, job not compliant with FLSA, we've been reviewing FLSA status, the non-exempt versus exempt, and we had about 67 positions where we had to realign whether, the position might have been not exempt with overtime and it should have been exempt or vice versa.
Could I just jump in for a second?
Sure.
When we met to set this agenda, I asked you for some information. Did I get that email to me?
No, not yet. You had asked specifically the next couple of columns where they talk about you'd wanted a list of all the jobs either above or below. The range was either determined right as above or below, and then with the incumbents, sort of where the salaries were at. So we're pulling it together. It sounds like a simple request, but it's actually a more manual process. And we're actually, I'll kind of explain those columns, because if you look at where it says job pay range assignment is above market or below market, there can be a number of reasons as to why that's the case. So what we're trying to do is pull together not only the data but an explanation so that, for example, you don't just make an assumption, well, it must mean that the market's telling us that the grade is not at the range isn't at the right place. There could be, again,
did
multiple reasons.
Did I ask
reasons
for an explanation?
So you didn't ask for an explanation.
Okay.
But
so, I mean, when we met and I asked for the information on these 37 jobs, that meeting took place like over a week ago. You couldn't pull together those 37 jobs and these 118 jobs and give us the list that I requested?
Yeah, that's not the only, I mean, with respect, there's a number of other things that we're also working on at the same time. And
you couldn't pull those numbers together?
No, we're still working on it. I didn't think you said you needed it today, so it's in progress.
We're taking action on this item. It would have been helpful to have it today.
I don't think there's action. I think this is just an informational report.
Did you look at the agenda? I think it says unless directed by the committee, informational only unless directed by the committee. So.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't have the data for you today,
okay.
So we will soon. So if you look at those two columns, again, it kind of shows to you what percentage of the jobs either were in a range that was not quite appropriate, or in a few cases, we had some incumbents that were a little, their pay was not quite aligned. And then the last column is sort of looking at the EEO aspects of the positions as well. So, again, the project isn't done. The team has been working days, nights, weekends, very hard. They're absolutely on track. They're right where I'd want them to be. They're doing a terrific job. And my hope is that this will be wrapped up first quarter, and then we'll have some more information for you, number one, to sort of give you a summary of everything, but also to start looking at our pay ranges and doing a lot of cleanup there, and I'll have some more reports for you on, you know, what we're recommending moving forward on pay ranges. So, any questions?
I have some questions, and Mr. Supervisor Johnson, could you take the chair, please?
Yes. Supervisor Cullen.
Thank you. I think we've all been, you know, we've heard about this JEQ for the last 8-9 months, and my understanding and anticipation was that we were going to get a JEQ report at some point and say, here are all the jobs in Milwaukee County. These people are above market value. These people are below market value. These people are at market value, and this is how we want to implement it. Apparently, that's not what the intent is. The intent has been, I think we may have adopted some during the past year where there's been a little, well, this person's changing because of the JEQ. Now we get this report that says 461 jobs were reviewed impacting 1,378 positions, and they want to just do that without, and think they can do that without any board approval. What this resolution would ask you to do, and I think my intent would be just to share this with you today and maybe bring your jammies on Monday, because this may be, we may be doing this on Monday. Yeah.
I was wearing my long johns yesterday.
Is to, you know, specifically say, if you look through the proposed resolution, that we do support the JEQ and the effort that's been undertaken by our Human Resources Department, that we'd like a detailed report by job classification and department prior to approving any changes to compensation for employees until we know the impact on the county, and that we have another, we have in item 14 some reclassifications in intergovernmental relations in the Office of the Comptroller, and that we don't do those right now, because I think we need to do this as a group. You know, essentially what they're doing is they want to do it a little bit at a time. So then they do, well, you did the first 461, then the next 461 come, and if there's anything that raises problems with us, they say, well, you already did it with those people. So you're kind of on this path. Mm-hmm. And when we had an agenda setting meeting, I asked specifically for Ms. Mitchell to provide me with those 37, as you just heard, the 37 jobs that were above market and the 118 jobs that were below market. Relatively simple information, I thought. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask for a detailed explanation. I said, what are these 37 jobs? Mm-hmm. Today's December 12th, I think our agenda setting meeting was on about December 3rd or 4th. So it's been 8 or 9 days, and they couldn't pull those 37 jobs together, those 118 jobs together. I assume it's there somewhere. I mean, so I would hope that we would just look over this. We can have, if we want to have some discussion today or lay it all over till Monday, that's fine. But, this goes back to our discussions on the budget about positions where the administration was taking the position that they can move anybody wherever they want and absorb any pay cuts or pay increases. And it was at least my position and the position that this board took in overriding the county executive's veto that, no, that this is the purview of the board and it's a policy. And, you know, so this is sort of coming to a head with this, and so what I was asking is that we get a JEQ report, as I anticipated we were going to get, and then when we have that report, we take some action on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, whatever people want to do with this is up to them, but I would hope we would. People want to pass this today. I'm willing to pass my resolution today. But
Supervisor Jersey.
I would like to move approval of this resolution. My comment on this, and I appreciate the chair's working this out, I do think this is policy. I agree with you on that. I also think we are moving through a very strange period. I mean, with Act 10, previously a lot of this stuff was negotiated in our labor agreements, or at least was, you know, part of the discussions with regard to step increases, that kind of thing. That's all gone now. We're living in a brave new world here. And I agree. I also appreciate the JEQ effort. I'm not criticizing HR at all, but this is something that does need to be reviewed by policymakers when it's completed. So I totally agree with the tenor of this resolution, and I'm willing to support it. I don't need it laid over. I think we've been dealing with JEQ since the budget analysis and some of the problems that were coming out. I just would encourage, as I have before, that the administration be much more collaborative with the board in working through a lot of these kinds of policy issues. This is not private industry. This is government. Government has oversight. The CEO of government takes directions from the electorate. And that's a different model than private industry. And I'm not so sure people always get that. So I think we need to underline that again and again for our county executive, that this is government, and government does have oversight. And this, I think, the proposal from the chairman provides that oversight. So I so move approval.
Supervisor Jerzyk has moved to approve the resolution by the committee. I see you, Director. With respect to the detailed report, it's not specified as to when that would be ready. I'm looking at the next cycle, the February cycle, unless Supervisor Cullen wants it before that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I mean, whenever they can get a detailed report together on the entire JEQ, when it's done, then we can act on it. The other point I wanted to raise in the next item, we would be dealing with some people dealing with IGR and that. And if you looked at it, this wouldn't have any direct impact on them. And just an aside, if you remember when we had this IGR discussion during the budget, maybe people can refresh my memory too. It seems that I asked the administration and Ms. Marine particularly that I had seen media reports that Mr. Peterson was being paid $85,000 a year. She said, no, that wasn't true. If I'm reading this report correctly, it says he's being paid $85,000 a year. So either she was mistaken, not completely honest, just didn't know, whatever. That's sort of a side issue with this, because by taking this action, those two persons would be left at their same salary level at the current time, so it wouldn't affect them. And the proposal in item 14 doesn't propose to move them either, even though they're both paid above their pay grade as defined by the JEQ.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Stamper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also support this resolution, but I want to know if it's reasonable to ask for a date of completion, or is it just too comprehensive, too much work to ask for a date to receive a complete compensation package for all the jobs? Because I agree with that. We need to have them all at one time. And also, I don't see in this resolution anything about your request for the specific 37 and 118 jobs and which jobs they were. So I don't know if you want to add that, or that's just something you want to, some information that you want to request.
I believe that has been requested, and I would expect that the department would be forthcoming in the list that Supervisor Cullen had asked for during agenda setting.
Yeah, but the number would change once we get a complete report. So,
Mr. Chair?
Supervisor.
I guess I would ask if when we get the complete report, that we get not just numbers of what positions were above market or below market, but what those positions are and what the incumbent is being paid at this point. And as Supervisor Jurczyk correctly stated, I think sometimes people don't understand the difference between public employment and private employment. Any one of us who works for the county, if our next-door neighbor wants to know what we make, there's probably a database that they can find it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you work for Johnson Controls, you work for NML, that's not the way it works. These are public dollars. So, you know, what I make is public record, what you make is public record, what Ms. Mitchell makes is public record. And so although these discussions can be uncomfortable when we start dealing with individual positions because then we know the people, that's part of the way it works when you work for a public entity.
Right.
So, I mean, as far as the date goes, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the expert. I assume that they want to get this done, so they'll provide a detailed report when they're finished with the JEQ, and that we won't get it piecemeal, and that they won't just be implementing things without the board taking action on this policy.
Supervisor Stamper, any other comments?
Thank you.
Director.
It was good. I can add this, though. It's good to see that, you know, some work is being done. We're seeing some progress, but it would be cool to have them all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Director Mitchell. Director Mitchell.
Thank you. A couple of things. First of all, and I mean this with all respect, I don't think any of you have any comprehension of what, you know, how the disaster we walked into in terms of our compensation system. And there's a tremendous amount of work and effort and fantastic expertise we brought. I mean, we've got just a fantastic compensation team who's working their tails off on this project. I'm very, very proud of them. I have documented at least 5 requests over the course of probably since July where I've really been trying hard to get with each of you and spend time, and I don't get responses a lot of the time. In fact, I think Supervisor Lipscomb is the only person I've really we've sat down and I've tried to help him understand sort of the scope of this very complex project. So I think when these conversations happen, my frustration is you just don't have, and I think you want that comprehensive understanding of what we're doing. I've been trying to get you to meet with me and to spend that time so I can kind of bring you up to speed, and it just isn't happening. So I don't know what else I can do to get you to sit down with me to understand this. It's thousands of pieces of data. It's very complex. I have a phenomenal team working on it, but it doesn't seem like anybody understands any of that. In fact, I can tell by the way you're using the term JEQ that you don't really know what that means. You know, and I want to help you understand this so you're not so nervous about what's going on and I can't trust what's happening. I don't know how to get you to understand it if you won't sit down with me. And I'm just in sincerity telling you, whenever you're ready, please, I would love to spend time and sit down with you, help you understand it. Frankly, all of the changes that have been made so far in terms of some of the pay increases and grades, you've reviewed all of those at every cycle. We've put them forward, and for at least the first half of the year, we're voting to or you know, approving those things to go forward. So, you know, we're not trying to hide anything. There's no conspiracy. You know, we're doing a tremendous cleanup, and I can't wait for it to be done so that you can see how we're making sense of this crazy system that we've got. And I want it to be transparent and easy for every employee to just understand how our compensation system works, because nobody does. And that's what we're working toward.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Collins.
I mean, if we're going to say with all due respect, I'll say with all due respect. And I obviously do not, and probably nobody on this committee has your expertise in human resources. That's granted. But when you talk about transparency, if someone on the board, me specifically, asks you for a list of 37 jobs 9 days ago, and you can't get us that information, you say it's too complicated. I mean, maybe I'm dumber than I think, because I think when you put on a piece of paper that there's 8% of jobs above market and those are 37 jobs, that's probably written down somewhere on some database and that you can find it. maybe I'm just, I don't know anything, I don't comprehend, I'm just too much of a bumpkin to get it, but to me, that's not transparent. I asked you for information, and then you said, well, I was going to give you this information, but I was going to give you all these explanations. I didn't ask for an explanation. I asked for the information on what those 37 jobs were and what the people in those jobs were being compensated. You didn't bring it 9 days later, and then you say, I want to be transparent. Pardon me if I'm a little skeptical.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Lipscomb, then Supervisor Scherz. Supervisor Lipscomb, you had your hand up.
Thank you. So I guess, Mr. Chairman, the issue for me is I think what we're being told is that they're just going to handle everything and we should just trust it. But to the extent that we do get information, there are things that are disturbing to me, even about how it's been administered recently, much less how things are changing or how they're proposed to change. So, for instance, I just want to understand how it is that in the county executive office, intergovernmental relation, how is it that in the current situation, I thought previously what we'd been told was that you were interpreting it that they could move people at will within the range. And so I'm trying to understand how, if the current range 31M tops out at just under 73,000, how that person could have been hired at 85. So how do we even get to the situation where they are over, they're not only over the existing range, they're also over the proposed range. So who just unilaterally decided that they get 12, that this person would get 12 grand more than allowed? And how do you allow that to occur? So, you know, because at the same time that you're asking for less oversight, the little bit of information I get, I see stuff that's just crazy, disturbing. Can you explain how that occurs?
Thank you, Supervisor. And Director Mitchell, before you reply, Madam Clerk, would you read item 14 into the record? We'll take 13 and 14 together.
Item number 14 from the Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources, submitting informational reports relative to reclassification of existing positions, advancement within the pay range, reallocations of non-represented positions, revisions to executive compensation plan positions, appointments at an advanced step of the pay range, dual employment, temporary assignments to a higher classification, temporary appointments, and emergency appointments. Recommendations to be implemented unless supervisors object.
Thank you. Director Mitchell.
Thank you, Chairman. To answer the question, the incumbents were in the position before the job was reviewed, and that's one of the problems we come into where if we have incumbents in the job, we still review the job, and from time to time we find that our data is telling us that it was too high of a grade level or the range was too high. And so, you know, in this particular case, you know, we do this, what we refer to as a red circle. I know it's been an issue that's come up recently, but the review of the job was after the jobs were filled.
Yeah, I get that. But so how does the job get filled at $12,000 above its max range?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Session.
I mean, and is that unique to the exec's office?
Mr. Session.
To answer the first part of the question, the recruitment for this individual was ongoing while the pursuit of a reclassification was also ongoing. I think there was an expectation that the position would come back as a 901, a higher pay grade. So they made a job offer to the individual at that amount that would be in the 901 range, and it ultimately came back with a lower recommendation, the 34M that you see there. So, you know, when we make a job offer, we're bound by that. It was anticipatory, I'll grant you that. It turned out that the recommended pay grade for that position is less than what was anticipated. it's also less than what the other incumbent is making as well. Is that?
But is that the kind of that's already the kind of authority that you provide to departments, that they can make job offers that are beyond the max range, pay range, just because they think it's going to come in somewhere? I mean, if that's the existing, then where are we going in terms of the sort of authority you want to have without any oversight?
Understood.
Mr.
Chairman, Supervisor, that was an exceptional circumstance. It's not a practice that we would endorse. We do have pay grades that we do want to abide by. We went through a situation like this with one of the board staff members last year, where an offer was made that was different than the concrete steps, and we worked to try to resolve that. I don't recall specifically if we arrived at what the board's intention was or what the steps mandated, but it is an exceptional practice. I acknowledge that. It's not something that we would want to do on a regular basis.
Thank you, Deputy Director.
Point of order. Did I miss something? I thought we were on the previous item.
We're on 13 and 14. I had read 14. To the 14 is in the record.
So we do have a motion still on the table.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We still have that up for.
So we're taking them both together.
For the resolution, yeah. Since the discussion went into 14, I had it read into the record.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I appreciate that. I should have made it clear. Part of it is that the line 69 to 73, the resolve clause, references some of this. And so I thought it was
No, that's fine. That's why I had it written to the record. It was the next slide. Anyway.
It's also my understanding, just you brought up a situation. I'm not privy to everything in the county board budget and office, but I think in the case that you're talking about, it was an offer at a step that was beyond what was recommended, but it was still within the pay range. This is a case where an offer was in the county exec's office, where an offer was extended $12,000 above the max step of pay range of the current pay range for the position. So, I just think that all of that is pertinent, because what you're being asked is to basically turn all of this over. Their position is that we already don't have the authority in this area, and I think it's important that we would exert our desire to continue to provide oversight, and I think it's well within our policy purview to do so. So I am supportive
of
the resolution.
Thank you. Supervisor Jersey.
I wanted to get back to the comments that were made by Ms. Mitchell. And this is not unique just to your department. Policymakers deal all the time with highly complex issues. I don't pretend to be an HR expert. You're hired to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't pretend to understand everything the medical examiner does. I don't pretend to understand a lot of the stuff that behavioral health professionals do. And yet, this board has an oversight role with regard to taxpayers. And we have to make fairly complex decisions, and we also have a calendar that we deal with. You have to be sensitive to the fact of our capacity to deal with issues. I haven't had a chance since budget to sit down with you. I fully intend to accept your offer, but I haven't had the capacity to do it. And I can tell you, I know the Sentinel doesn't care, or the Journal doesn't care, about this, quote, part-time job that we're supposed to have. I truly haven't had the hours to sit down and talk with you about this, with everything else that is coming across my desk. So I'm going to ask you to be patient, but I'm also going to ask you to please offer those things when we get to a little bit of a breather. And there are times during the year when we get to a breather, and we can then pick it up. But for whatever it's worth, we have to pass on policy and on all kinds of complex issues. I don't want to go into all the detail you're talking about, nor do I think I need it, but I think you can, in your position, when you get done with all this stuff, to present it in a clear way to policymakers for approval. And that's my response to ask you to please understand who you're dealing with in terms of policy. I'm not trying to do administrative work. So, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Dr. Colton?
Thank you, Chairman, Supervisors. I just want to clarify the governmental affairs position, that the position that is currently filled did not exist before. It was a change because of Act 14. So we filled it based on knowing the current the classification of the current IGR person in the board, and tried to make those comparable. And as you see, the position in the county executive's office is at a much lower rate than the one at the board. Also, I'm just seeing this resolution now. I'm wondering if it's been publicly noticed, and if the board is planning to pass this today, or I don't know if anyone's had a chance to read it yet.
I've had a chance to read
it. Thank you.
I don't think it's on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, I understand sort of the, you know, that, like what Mr. Sessions said, there was a little bit of ambiguity in the IGR position based on Act 14. But, you know, why that person came in at 85 and not 72 or something. And Ms. Colton, perhaps you were in the room when Ms. Maureen told me that person wasn't being paid 85. Do you remember
she
that?
She never said that, actually.
She didn't? What did she say? If you can remind me then. Because we can go look at the tape. I'll go look.
Yeah, maybe we should look
at the
video.
Do you remember what the, just tell me what your recollection is, what she said.
I don't remember word for word, so I don't want to try to remember it now. I don't remember that she said that.
Do you remember me saying, my recollection, and if I'm wrong, I would certainly correct it on the record, is that media, I don't know what he was being paid, but media reports said $85,000, and Ms. Maureen said no. Maybe not in those exact words. I'm not quoting her verbatim, but no. He's being paid less than that, was the implication. So, fine. Accept that at face value. Find out that's what he was getting paid. So, I understand there's some ambiguity in this one, because the other person was the assistant to the director. This person is not necessarily the assistant to the director. But, you know, the other issue on that report for item 14, which I didn't raise and don't, you know, is this whole idea of corrections officers, two corrections officers out of, I believe we heard maybe 20, maybe 25 are getting a two-step increase. And this is, you know, after we concurred with the county executive's proposal to not have step increases for next year. But somehow these two people, and I assume they're exemplary employees, are coming in under the wire and getting a two-step increase in December, and then they'll get their raise based on off that. I find that sort of, you know, raised my eyebrows, but I thought, well, this is your administrative role to do. You can do that. They're within the pay range. But I did wonder why these two persons are getting a two-step advancement when the other members of that group are not. As to this, this item is on the agenda. This is perfectly, anybody wants to ask Mr. Bargain or Mr. Grady whether or not we can do this, I'm perfectly willing to listen to them. We can schedule it for Monday if they think we can.
Dr. Colton, it's my understanding, because this item had been on the agenda, that notice has been given with respect to the item, or items 13 and 14. This resolution is by the committee. It is not from the committee. It is by the committee, and it can be prepared by in a way which was prepared. Unless Mr. Grady or Mr. Barbering wants to tell us otherwise, and if that is the case, then we will deal with the correct procedure. But it's my understanding that has been this resolution before us is before us in an appropriate and proper manner. Mr. Barbering.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, this is an appropriate procedure. It's public within the public open meetings procedures.
Thank you, sir.
Chairman.
Supervisor Schmidt. Before Supervisor Dr. Colton.
Thank you, Chairman. Supervisors, I understand it may not be a legal issue, but we've heard the board say several times that they like to promote transparency, open government.
Yes,
this is the second item today that is first one wasn't scheduled, swept under the table. Nobody's seen it. Second one, nobody's had a chance to read it, but is being voted on today. So it's a little concerning.
Before I get to Supervisor Schmidt, with respect to the crosswalk resolution, it was decided by the chair that the crosswalk would not be looked at this particular time. As I said earlier, that there were 64 items to be scheduled, and the chair and I decided that some of these items would be eliminated. The crosswalk was eliminated because we knew that the status quo resolution would be before us.
Why was the choice made to have the supervisors and not the administrations?
Mr. Chair.
What?
And it wasn't included last month either.
Mr. Chair.
Well, Dr. Colton, we are elected as the legislative branch of this government, and through the agenda-setting process, the chairs decided that the crosswalk would not be advanced for this cycle. There was no attempt to look at the crosswalk and say, well, we don't want to deal with this. There was no editorializing about it. We decided, because of the 64 items that we had, the fact that we had contracts, the fact that Act 10 requires us to approve contracts, any contracts that come before us, and that usually happens in the December cycle. So again, there was no attempt to set aside the crosswalk with the number of items, and to be frank, Chairman Cullen decided to have 2 days in which to deal with the agenda, which I thought was very smart of him to do. So I'm just trying to, with respect to transparency, I'm just trying to give you my take on what happened, how it happened, and I'm not the chair of this particular cycle. But that's my understanding.
Mr. Chair, could I just... we could just sort of put this item to bed. As I understand, the item was given to the county executive, the county board chairwoman on October 15th. So that missed the deadline to be referred in the October cycle. If I'm correct, I think it then was referred. This is the first meeting this committee has had since that time. So we had an agenda setting. I think it was referred to the committee from the chairwoman's office on December 3rd. Based on the volume we had, as Supervisor Johnson said, we chose not to put this on the agenda. And perhaps what the county executive's office needs to fully understand is the legislative process. The chairwoman refers something. You give something to the chairwoman, it doesn't automatically appear at a hearing. The chairwoman then can decide to refer it to a committee. At that point, it's up to the chair of whichever committee that is to decide if that gets on the agenda. It's not your decision. It's not Chris Abley's decision. At that point, it's not the chairwoman's decision. It's the chair of those committees' decision, whether it be Supervisor Roma West or Supervisor Haas, Supervisor Lipscomb, Supervisor Jerzyk, whoever. The chair set the agenda. I looked at this and said, it looks like we may move in the direction of the resolution that Supervisor Lipscomb was bringing. And I know some of the people on this committee may not have liked that approach, but that was the chair's prerogative to say, we'll deal with this one. If Supervisor Lipscomb's resolution doesn't pass on the contract issue, then the crosswalk might come before us next month. So there was nothing was swept under the table. There are deadlines. You guys missed it for October. This is our first meeting of the standing committee since then. So I don't want the public to get this impression, oh, this has been languishing for months and you guys won't do it, because that is just not the case.
And as I said, there was no editorializing about it. The chairs decided to take one. Actually, it was before the other, and that was sufficient. So, again, there was no opportunity to disregard the crosswalk. There's no opportunity, because of its complexity, to say, well, we can do something. We have a substitute, so let's do that as opposed to the crosswalk. We have 64 items to look at, 64 items, and this is the last cycle before the beginning of 2014. So, and as I said, the chairman decided in a clever way to take, and he polled committee members, talked to committee members, to use 2 days so that no one would be overwhelmed. And as far as we've gotten, I didn't expect us to be bogged down for where we are. But nevertheless, that's my opinion. Anyone else before I go to, before we move forward? There's a motion to approve the resolution by the committees. Supervisor, Director Mitchell, then Supervisor Schmidt, so we can go forward.
Thank you, Chairman. Just one concern that I'm, as I'm glancing through this, that I have. If we were to hold up on everything until the end, I have a few concerns about that, but the main is, has to do with the fact that as we uncover issues that might pertain to equity problems, EEO problems, et cetera, those things really can't wait. Those things are, we want to nip them in the bud and correct them. So I do have a concern about holding up on issues related to those types of things. A lot of that really can't be discussed in open session, but it are very important, and I just, I'm concerned about holding up on that.
Director, just as you want us to get back to you on the crosswalk, you can communicate with us, and we will listen to what you have to say.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then I also have, I don't know if it's something for a corporation counsel to respond to, but I think that there's been some advice that we've received tied to individual employee actions and what's under the purview of the board versus not, and I know that there's been some debate about that, but I'm not certain that everything in here follows in line with some of the legal advice that we've received, and I don't know if you're in a position to comment on that yet or provide any legal advice this meeting.
Thank you, Director. Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you. Well, yeah, we're all in this fray, so I need to make a couple comments, I think, relevant to what we're talking about. And I think we are in this gray area, obviously, which makes it extremely difficult. But, you know, maybe you don't want to give up your rights, as you're talking about. I understand, and I hope we do appreciate some of that. Again, I guess it goes both ways here again. And, you know, and we got into a bad start because the county exec was in the area and pushing, you know, taking away our powers. And we're trying to keep some of those powers just because, and I personally feel, and I don't mind saying this, I think checks and balances are involved here. And I think we've lost some significant checks and balances. And I'm going to stand up for my right as a, you know, representing 50,000-plus people and to make sure I'm going to try to get all the information I can until I'm told I can't get it. So we're going to be at loggerheads a little bit. That's the way it is. And I don't think I certainly don't have any mean-spiritedness. I respect the process that Supervisor Cullen talked about. Chairman do have some discretion here, and I think if and I think it's also your right. And you know, talk about two ways, and you know, and I think there's some problem getting back. I talked to Mr. Session about the crosswalk 2 months ago. I mean, you know, and we went through a long process, and I thought we'd get more on it. You know, I'd like to see it agendized today, but you know what? I'm not going to, you know, make a big stink over this. Then we should have it on next month. And then you should petition and you should talk to some of us and say, you know, we really need to get this on, come back a second time and, you know, do some lobbying a little bit as you're supposed to do, young lady, okay? And say, you know, we want to get this on because. And then, you know, at least we have a conversation about it. And I've got phone calls. Normally I return my phone calls like I do my constituents. So we've had phone calls, so I'm happy to respond to that. Also, you know, I know we have limited powers in a lot of areas, but whatever we have, I'm going to keep until we're told we can't do it. Because we're supposed to make policy decisions, and that hasn't stopped. Whether we're part-time or make less or whatever, that stuff doesn't stop. We keep our responsibilities, okay? And no matter what happens, we keep our responsibilities. We still represent 50,000 people, so I'm going to a big town hall meeting tonight on various things, okay? So I guess the point I'm making, and I asked the chairman, and specifically this area, number 14 we're talking about, that does relate to what we're trying to do, about, you know, do we have any power in these areas or not? I mean, again, we pass budgets, okay? We give everybody 1%. And then, but special people, it seems, and people that you're closer with because you see them work, well, they get special considerations. And you know, these things come up, and we give them a higher classification and, you know, the things we talk about here. And I've asked the chairman, I know if you remember this specifically in the last couple months, they said, well, at least in agenda setting, you gentlemen, okay, have a chance to look at this and can question. Because, you know, and you know, we're not going to have a lot of debates, but, you know, unless we pick and pick and pick. Now, we've seen many inconsistencies. I'll go back to Ms. Morin, and she was placed in one position, and, you know, we were voting on her another one, and there was a mix-up. And, I mean, there's going to be mistakes, but what I'm saying is that I appreciate our chairman and what Supervisor Cullen did here today, because you know, we can't do this as a committee. You know, I'm sorry. I it's hard for me. I'm getting older, I guess, too. It's I get on the computer too. It's really hard to make. Anybody else have difficulty reading some of the stuff besides me? It's so small and so put together. I've asked a couple times that if we could have a summary, or it'd be nice sometimes when we do the crossovers and we do the that Mr. Fudge gives us just a little summary on something. So again, you know, just a summary or the red flag ones, or when there are significant changes, or Mr. Sessions say, no, we had to dig and find that, and you could just said, well, in this situation, and I've talked to people before when I was personnel chair, when I sat down the agenda setting, I said, could you explain to me why this person or that person, and I got the explanations, and I could give it to my members then. So if there are things you know that are controversial or that, you know, went outside the regular process and, you know, you explained it, well, you know, we shouldn't have to dig for all these things and say, well, this happened, that happened, because we're supposed to be fair to everybody. I mean, and then some people are getting these and they're getting 12,000 raises. We had a situation where someone's getting 15,000, and, you know, we can't dig for – I'm not interested in digging on everything. I'm not going to look into the 1,000 employees, but I have to know and, you know, try to be respectful to – all the members I represent, all the county employees. We talked about the nurses not getting their raises today. Everybody else is getting their raises. And, you know, we got to come to some resolution on this. So, you know, you're going to have to put up with us just asking these questions and fighting about this a little bit. And then, like an agenda setting, go over a couple of those things so then we can be informed about it. We shouldn't have to be digging like we did in the budget on some things. Dig and dig and dig until we find out and say, oh, well, well, you didn't have to tell us about it. Well, okay, but, you know, if you told us about it, then I think other things would go and flow a little better, too. We'd have more of a trust here, you know. You can justify some of the things you did. Well, then let us know, okay? And then, because otherwise there's all these unanswered questions, and we're saying, well, what else are you hiding from us? And I know that's not, you know, you're saying you're trying to be transparent. We're saying we're trying to be transparent. Maybe we both got to work at it a little bit better. And especially in the agenda setting, when the departments and department chairs, you should be very forthright there. And then, you know, we shouldn't have to dig for things. Well, here's the changes that are happening, and here's why. And then there's some cooperation going on, and the chairs can relate that to us then. So I may be off track a little bit, but I support what we're doing today. You know, I think it's our responsibility as elected representatives until we're not elected anymore, or this whole changes to ask these kind of questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Schmidt. And with respect to agenda setting, we as chairs, any of us as chairs, can only ask so much. We're to hear summaries of the items. We are not to get deeply into the discussion that we would have at the regular meeting. So we can ask for clarification for something that's been said. But again, we, according to open records law and the concerns that the district attorney's office had, we cannot go deeply into whatever the items are about. We have before us a motion to approve the resolution by the committee. Any other comments? Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did have a question for Director Mitchell. The last communication that I have from your office is on November 5th about the cuts to your staff around the budget. Was there a communication in my office to meet on the subject?
Sure. If you'd hold on a moment, I could pull that out. So I guess going back to, I can start with July 18th. I had spoken at the Finance Personnel Committee meeting, and as we discussed the topic, I offered to meet with each of you individually to help you understand really the scope of the project, what we're focusing on. And after that, I was issued a referral that I was to do that and to reach out and get those set up. So on August 7th, my assistant sent each of you an email requesting with some dates that we can meet. Didn't get, you know, they were open, but we didn't get responses. Then we sent a reminder on the 12th of August saying, you know, the same thing, we'd like to meet. Supervisor Lipscomb followed up. I think Supervisor Schmidt might have talked to us a little bit, but we didn't really end up getting a meeting set up. No responses really from anyone else, and I think that was right when everyone was starting to gear up for the budget process. October 14th is when I presented my department's budget and talked in more detail about the project, the scope of the project. Many of you, it was a later meeting, so some of you weren't here for that. On the 17th, I sent a memo to Supervisors Cullen and Johnson addressing a lot of the questions that came up during the budget process about the comp project, so people would understand that. And I think I attached that to the item number 14, so that was there. So those are some of the communications that I had sent out. And to Supervisor Jurczyk's comment, you all obviously are receiving a lot of information, and I'm, working to be patient, but I very much would like you all to understand this so that you're not so concerned.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Bowen.
And I do remember sitting down with you, Director, at some point talking about the JQ and a number of the things that were going on in human resource before in my office.
You first started, that could be.
But I think it's fair to understand, Supervisor Jurczyk, where we are dealing with the budget and other things, but I just don't want it to be a scapegoat to say that I can't find a recent email that says that the director wanted to meet even after the budget. And this is a pretty important issue that I'd be willing to, rearrange my schedule for to meet with anybody, even the county exec over issues. But it just seems that sometimes that's the scapegoat reason of why we don't have the information, especially when a supervisor asks for information and then it doesn't end up in front of us either. So just wanted to clarify that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
You're welcome, Supervisor. Supervisor Roma West.
Very, very quickly, Mr. Chair. I kind of resent the innuendo that, that we somehow, basically are sitting around doing nothing and are not being responsive to department heads when they call or contact our office. I specifically remember in August being my office was contacted by Mr. Session, and at that time, my legislative assistant, I had two huge events going on in my district. I did not have the time to sit down and meet with him. That was the first thing. But the second thing is that there was not any report in writing. And so I want to follow up on something that Supervisor Cullen said because I think it's really important. Department heads want to meet with us. They had the same situation happen with Mr. Drenzik in transportation. He calls me and says in August and says, hey, do you want to sit down and meet regarding, the contract for MCTS? Oh, I would love to meet with you, but before I meet with you, I want a copy of what it is that you're going to be talking to me about. And in this situation as well, there was no copy. There was no hard copy of anything that I could sit down and that I could review before I sat down in the meeting. I don't want to be spoon-fed information. I want to have the information in front of me. I want to be able to read it, to analyze it, to have those questions formulated so that I can sit down and meet with you on an actual subject. And so that's the issue. It's not that I'm sitting around drinking, drinks with umbrellas in them and that I'm, leisurely wasting my time away and just want to ignore you. But it's come down now to the point where, who does that? Somebody knocked on your door today and said, hey, I want you to sign this insurance policy. You just do that? They say, oh, well, you don't really need to see anything in writing. You need to, just listen to what I'm telling you. One of the things when I got elected, the very first and only rule really that people gave me was, and that is in dealing with my colleagues, is never sign on to anything before you read it. And so if you're going to contact my office and ask to sit down and meet with me and you can make all the faces you want, it's important that I have it in writing. And you're sitting here and talking about transparency, but yet you know, I'm being called to ask to meet with people about things that they don't have in writing. And I need to have things in writing. I want to be able to read and process that information myself. And if that makes me stupid or, you know, or lazy or whatever, then so be it. But that's, I think, one of the things that I personally, in order to be comfortable, have to do. So I resent hearing that I'm uncomfortable with something because I don't understand it. Maybe I'm uncomfortable with it because I do understand it. And that's just the nature of the beast. And so there's nobody sitting here on this committee that I agree with 110% of the time. There's no department head within Milwaukee County that I agree with 110% of the time. You know what? Never mind, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you for being disrespectful.
As I said earlier, we have a resolution before us by the committee.
Really?
And Supervisor Roma West feels that she's just been disrespected. Nevertheless.
How is it not disrespectful when I'm sitting here and talking directly to two individuals and they get up and start talking to each other?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just making a note of what just happened. We have a resolution in front of us. Any other discussion regarding items 13 and 14 before we vote on the resolution, since we have both items in front of us? Comptroller Mansky?
One of the items on item 14 is the reallocation of the Office of Comptroller position from a Secretary NR to a Senior Executive Assistant. I currently have no one in that position. After a discussion with Human Resources and based upon the nature of the position of Comptroller now, it was a suggestion that I agreed with of moving it from a Secretary NR to a Senior Executive Assistant. So I just wanted to explain that, why that was there. Previously, as the Comptroller, I had a Secretary NR. And it was their suggestion, as I said, I agreed with, of moving it to a Senior Executive Assistant. And there is no one in the position at the present time. I just wanted to provide that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mansky, any questions, comments? Okay, again, we have, thank you very much. We have a resolution in front of us. Any other comments? Madam Clerk, on the resolution, would you call the roll?
Mr. Chairman, just to again clarify, you've had both items in front of you, and
yes,
the vote that you'd be taking on a resolution affects both items, so therefore you're actually taking a vote on both items.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're taking taking a vote on resolutions 13 and 14, which have been combined in order to expedite discussion relating to the resolution. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Chairman, just one additional point on item 14, and Dr. Riggle's been here patiently waiting. And
go ahead.
It's a little antsy about her positions that are listed in the report. She has some clinical psychologists who are being advanced, and it's primarily for retention purposes. And I think she would tell you, and you can ask her, but I think she would tell you that if she does not have those positions advanced, we will lose those clinical psychologists.
You would do what, sir?
We would lose those psychologists.
Okay.
So
well, there.
And I just wanted to make sure that that's not impacted by the resolution. Is that correct?
No, I don't believe so. Dr. Riggles, I don't believe that those positions are affected.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Jersey.
I appreciate Mr. Session bringing that up. And my follow-up question to him is this a problem that we created when we made that division when we limited the 120,000 for that pay range? Did we create that problem?
No.
So that's not related to that?
Not directly.
Not in that. These are my staff. They're completely separate on ECP. These are doctoral level psychologists.
Why don't we get her up at the table, Mr. Chair?
That's right. Doctor, if you would come forward.
Good morning. Almost
good morning.
Noon. Dr. Laura Riggle, Chief Psychologist, Behavioral Health Division. Thank you for listening. These psychologists are doctor-level psychologists, and they've been with behavioral health ranging from, I think, about 3 to 36 years. And the total impact of this is about $38,000 to retain 5 doctoral-level psychologists. Moving just 2 steps, which is one of the prerogatives the department head has for exemplary performance and to retain positions critical to operations. And this also relates to an action. I want to thank you very much again from July of 2011, when you were actually 2 bodies at the time, and many of you were on one of those committees, and you took a look at my whole department, which is about 20 doctor-level psychologists, and you decided that they were not competitive. And so there was a reallocation at the time. So I have 2 sets of psychologists, all doctoral level. And so about 12 of my psychologists have moved along in that allocation that you did, and it has completely helped. I don't have any vacancies, so I do want to thank you very much for that. So these are competitive, and I'm not asking for anything retroactive, but this particular group, which includes all of them, they've been stuck at step 1 since then, and now they've fallen $30,000 behind the other half of my department. So the irony is that when I came to you 2 years ago, I was trying to fix a compression issue that was flipped the other way, where I had people being supervised by people who made less. So your action fixed it, but we've had trouble actually implementing it because of the broader decisions that affect all employees. And so all I'm trying to do here is get them where they would be per the action, which I sent to you, I think, on November 12th, was the board report I sent to you. So I just want to get them. I'm not asking for retroactive pay for them. But the fact is that before that time, unfortunately, there's a shortage, and I have people trying to steal my doctors, and I don't want them to. And so I told them, I'm going to get the pay competitive, which you did. But so they turned down other jobs, and now they didn't move in the last 2 years, and they keep getting recruited. And I want them to stay, and I think you can, this is the last thing I'll say, I think we can all understand that with patient care, a relationship with the doctor is very important and special, and rotating doctors is bad for safety issues. And I want these people, we've invested a lot in them, they want to stay, but they really deserve this for multiple reasons, and it's a 2-step change.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I was on personnel at the time this was going on, and I understand the issue, and I understand why we changed the pay range. I just want to make sure we're not creating a problem for you today. We're actually helping fix this issue. Is that correct?
You're helping fix the issue. You're bringing it back in line so that we don't have this gap increasing as the others move forward. I just want to bring them along. It's completely unrelated, and I don't want my staff to be affected by the other issue that you're referring to.
Yeah.
That's separate, and they will surpass me, but I want them to get what they need. I want them to stay in
and
completely different.
I would just like to thank you very much. I just want to highlight for HR. I know you have highly trained, highly educated individuals we're talking about here, who there is a tremendous job shortage out there. I understand that. We discussed it years ago. I trust very much your testimony here before policymakers. And I would like to suggest to HR, we're not trying to do that job for them, but there is a way to approach policymakers that we're not running the department that you're running, but this is the way policymakers should be addressed, by individuals who have the expertise so that we can set appropriate pay levels and do it on behalf of the taxpayers. This is the way things get done around here, and that's the way I would like to see the department approach this. So thank you very much. I think it was a good thing to highlight that. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
This is the recommendation of the department.
And I definitely don't have a problem with that, because I remember when we attentively listened from the Finance Committee side in July of 2011, there wasn't a lot of talk about why should they get increases. The increases were provided so they could be competitive and so they could stay right where they are, because we did not want them moving. So, I appreciate
that. I believe all the votes from both committees and the full board were 100%
unanimous,
which I really appreciate, and so do they on behalf of them. I want to thank you very much for that.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Supervisor Jersey. We have before us the motion. I believe the roll was about to be called. Anything else before the roll is called? Nothing else? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jersey?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to approve items 13 and 14 prevails.
Mr. Chairman, go right ahead, sir.